So what are we celebrating today? Well, today is National Working Moms Day. So if you're a working mom, today's your day. Today is, well, no kidding me, it's the start of daylight savings time. I'm feeling it. I missed my hour. Today, yummy, it is National Baked Scallop Day. I know some people in my house would be very excited about that one. Since it's snowing outside, you probably don't really want to go celebrate National Plant a Flower Day, unless it's going to be one of those things you put in a pot. But perhaps you do like this day, National Girl Scout Day. Cookies, anyone? And they're not even made with real Girl Scouts, okay? You have to understand there's a joke behind that. Then I tell my sister every year, my sister is a Girl Scout leader, and she's really into the cookie thing. And so today is a good day to National Girl Scout Day. Go inside and get yourself some cookies. But if you're really looking for a reason to celebrate today, how about we just try celebrating God? The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. I want to tell you something. That alarm clock went off this morning. I don't know that I was a very glad person. I'm kind of like, ugh. I will be honest, and I had this conversation with Patty. I peeked out the slats of my little window thinking, maybe there's snow, and I can turn around and go back to bed. But there's no snow, and we are here, and we are here. I know, it's snowing now, but, you know, there was no snow this morning. So today we are actually going to work on this sermon series, and this is a spinoff sermon series. 2 years ago, we did a series called The Tabernacle, and The Tabernacle was God's designed worship space. We spent the series exploring the three different areas and the six different furnishings that were there. That led us to another series that we did last year, and it was called Dressed for Success in God's Presence, and we studied the priestly garments. Remember the little model I had up here and the little big giant paper doll, and we dressed him, and we set him up there, and well, that's because the priest had a very specific uniform that he was to wear, and the uniform was filled with symbolism that points how we are supposed to prepare ourselves to go into God's presence. If you're interested in either one of those sermon series, they're on the YouTube channel. You can go grab them, and you can watch them in their entirety. It's a snowy day now, so there's a good thing you can do this afternoon. There you go. Only 6 hours worth of sermons. There you go. You could do that, right? But we're back. We are now into this 8 weeks of celebrations that God gave us in the book of Leviticus. Now, my goal is not to reinstitute these celebrations, although we are doing the Passover service on Good Friday. So I encourage you, make your plans to come. But we do want to take this sermon series as a chance to identify how God viewed celebration versus how the world uses celebration. Last week, we talked about the Sabbath. And well, the rest of the little sermon series here is about seven feasts. Yeah, that's in quote. I don't really count them much of a feast. That they celebrated. From God's perspective, each of these celebrations had a direct pointing to the Messiah. So now I have to make my little confession. As I was doing this particular sermon series, I went out and did my usual research. I did my Sermon Central search to see how other people were doing it. And then, of course, I went to Amazon to see what books were written on it. And I ran across this book, and I'm going to hold it up. This is actually a study. It is an 8-week study on these celebrations. I will warn you, it's not for the faint of heart, okay, because it is a daily study. It is called The Seven Feasts, Finding Christ in the Sacred Celebrations of the Old Testament. So if you're interested, you may go grab this, and you may do this on your own. But a lot of things that we're doing here is going to lean heavily on that particular outline because they have some really great outlines. So we're going to talk a lot of Old Testament, but since we're connecting it to Jesus, there's going to be a lot of Jesus throughout this particular sermon series. So today, we're looking at the celebration of Passover. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 4 and 5. These are the appointed festivals, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim, and their times. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. So this is one that we are very familiar with. Why? Because we do the Lord's Supper every week. And well, this is the one that Jesus was celebrating when he instituted the Lord's Supper. It was to be celebrated on the 14th day of the first month. Now, I got to get your calendar straight, all right? So that does not mean January 14th. Our calendar today is based on a solar calendar. We measure by how long it takes the earth to go around the sun and the revolutions, and we measure everything based off of the sun. In Jewish times, they based everything off of the moon. Their entire calendar was a lunar calendar. So by the time you think about this, their year began on the first week following the first full moon after the spring equinox. Okay, when is that? Believe it or not, about right now. This is how we know when Jesus was crucified, because he was celebrating Passover. And we know Passover is right around, right after that first full moon. They had a schedule the 14th day of their first month. Now, unlike the other feasts, okay, there were no instructions given in Leviticus on how they were supposed to celebrate. All the other ones have some kind of little snippets, and then you can find connecting points. This one, nothing. It just says celebrate it. You know why there's no instructions, right? Because they already knew how to celebrate the Passover. If you have your copy of God's Word, you can make your way to Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. I'm going to read the celebration to you, and then we're going to take a look at the celebration. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This is the month. This month is to be for you I'm missing my hour, folks. Let's try this again. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron and Aaron, this is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb from his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for the whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You will determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with the one with each person will eat. The animal you choose must be a year old males without defect. You may take them from some sheep or goats. So it doesn't have to actually be a sheep. It could be a goat. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when you and all the members of your community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Yeah, okay. Then you are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides of the doorposts of the frames of the house where you will eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roasted over a fire with the head, legs, and internal organs. Okay? Do not leave any of it till the morning. If some is left till the morning, you must burn it. This is how you're to eat it. With your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on, and your staff in your hand, eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, I'm not going to dive real deep into all the symbolism that we see here, because we're going to do that on Good Friday. The celebration was a remembrance of the day God delivered them from Egypt. They were about to be free people. And while it was a celebratory night for them, it was a horrible night for people around them. This is what it says in Exodus 12:12. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. This is basically the Jews' very first Christmas. You see, it says, this is the day you are to commemorate for generations to come. You shall celebrate a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. It would have been the most holy night of their entire calendar. Everything came to a stop at Passover. And you know what? It had some very specific instructions. There was some instructions on what you're supposed to eat. The menu was set. You couldn't say, I think I'd like to have chicken tonight, or I'd like to have a hamburger tonight. Nope. I know what you're having for Passover. By the way, not the one we celebrate. Okay, we're doing roasted chicken. I'm not roasting lamb. There's a reason. We'll explain it Passover, but you're having roasted lamb on Passover. No choice. How to prepare it. Every dish had things that had to be done and things that couldn't be done. Things they couldn't use, like yeast and butter. And there are other things that they could use. And so there was a reason God was doing all of this. And here's the funny thing. God even told them what to wear. They couldn't show up in their jammies and all comfortable. He said, no, you're going to eat this fully clothed, sandals on, ready to go, staff ready to go. You are going to eat this in haste. World's first fast food menu. Because guess what? This was to be eaten, ready to go. But truth be known, it all came down to the blood from the Lamb of God. And you know what? That's where we're going to connect. I'm not doing all the symbols. I am focusing on one symbol. The Lamb of God. And today, we know who the Lamb is. Remember, back then, this was a pointer to things that were to come. Today, we are here in America. We are here in 2023. And guess what? We know who the Lamb is. Because guess what? John the Baptist told us who he was. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, I hope you see the verb there, right? John tells us to look. It's an interesting thing. When they got ready for Passover, they had to go out and look for their lamb. God didn't like do the Noah's Ark thing. You just had the lamb coming. Hi, I'm here for Passover. I'm dinner. It says they had to go out and look for their lamb. And well, God wanted to make sure they got it. It could not just be any lamb. It's kind of like what we do when you go looking for your Christmas tree at Christmas, right? You're looking for the perfect tree. You want the one that fits in the house. It's not too fat, not too skinny. It's not scraggly. We use an artificial one. Solves all the problems. So you get, they went to look for the lamb. And they had to find a male lamb. No girls allowed. Trust me, for what they're going to do with this lamb, they're happy no girls allowed. It had to be young, no more than a year old. It had to be innocent. And well, it had to be perfect. Now, that doesn't mean it could have never misbehaved. Okay, what it meant is when they inspected this lamb, they had to look this lamb over. And if they found one spot, one blemish, anything that was wrong with this lamb was disqualified. I guess good for the lamb, right? Because this Passover lamb didn't have much of a life left to live. But I do want you to see what God is doing here. Isn't this the picture of Jesus? He was a male. He came into this world as a babe. He was innocent, right? And he lived a sinless life, so when he died, he was innocent. And when you inspect Jesus' life, he was perfect. That's the picture. And so, this lamb was picked. And then it was brought in the house for the next 4 days. It lived a life of luxury. So it went out, they got the lamb, and then it says they brought them into their house. Okay, this might disqualify me right there because I don't really like pets. Okay, and animals in my house, this is why we have kids, right? We don't need animals. We have kids. So it really wouldn't have been my thing, but you had to bring this creature into your home. Now, in John's statement, he's making sure we see, he's talking about, we're about to deal with the purpose Jesus came, who takes away the sins of the world. Now, this lamb was not the sacrificial lamb as far as sins go. We'll get to that on the Day of Atonement. But this lamb played a very important part because remember, at this point, we're talking about enslaved people. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So the very first Passover, remember, they're all slaves. Now, they had arrived in Egypt as guests. Okay, but as the years went by, they were forced into slavery. And Jesus connects here with this idea of, guess what? If you live in sin, if you have sinned, you are a slave. And that brings us to the question of who has sinned. We know the answer, right? Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So that means this night, this day, if you've ever done anything wrong in your life, you enter the Passover time as a slave. But God has a plan. They were going to sacrifice the lamb and spread the blood. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the earth. John sees a lamb that was slain. The blood of the lamb was to cover everything. Why? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says this. In fact, the law requires that never everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. This lamb, this Passover lamb, it was sent for a purpose. The Lamb of God, well, this little lamb, Passover lamb, it lived in the house for 4 days. And then it was killed. Keep in mind, when you read the instructions correctly, they didn't get to take it to the butcher. You know who had to kill the lamb? The house it belonged to. You know who had to skin the lamb? The house it belonged to. You know who's going to have the blood of the lamb on their hands? The house it belonged to. Are you getting the picture here? And then they were to take that blood, and they were spread it on the door frame in a way that would make a cross on each side of the doorpost, and then above where the blood would have dripped down, and you would have had the picture of a cross going across the door frame. Oh, poor lamb. They're not done. Then the lamb was to be roasted and completely consumed. There were no such thing as Passover leftovers, unlike Thanksgiving when we have our great big feast and you're eating turkey for the next week. You couldn't finish all the lamb that you slaughtered. You had to throw it in the fire and burn it. There was nothing to be left. When John looks in Revelation and he sees this little lamb, he sees it has been slain. Yet he sees it's also alive. And you know what? That's important for us to remember. Because Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 says, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us has freed us from our sins by his blood. That's the price tag. That's what it took for me to go free. That's what I had to accept for me to go free. I am a sinner. Don't believe me? Come and hang out with me for about an hour. It won't take you long to figure it out. I am a sinner. I was a slave. I am free because God's Passover lamb came and set me free through his death. But notice, John says it would look like it had been slain, but guess what? It is alive. For us to be set free, we must also choose to live in Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. We love that song. It's a very old song. It's called Jesus Paid It All. Jesus did pay it all. Nothing else needs to be done, but you understand. You have to accept the payment. Okay? It isn't enough that Jesus came and gave his life on the cross. It isn't enough that he died. It isn't enough they put him in a tomb. It isn't enough that he rose. All of that would have meant nothing if I don't choose to allow him in my life. If nobody ever accepted Christ, the sacrifice would have meant absolutely, positively nothing. But when I accept him, it's free people, folks. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from their sins committed under the first covenant. So, again, quick explanation. Old Testament people, they were working on what I call the credit card system. Okay? Jesus had not come yet, but they were placing their faith in God and things that were yet to come. The promises that were to come. And they ran up a debt coming through time. Jesus came. He paid it. He settled the debt provided they were willing to hand it over to him. And now we're not working on the credit card system. You know what we're working on, right? The bank account. The deposit has been made in full, and everybody chooses to tap into that, you're covered. It was that big of a deposit. Wow. That's impressive for me to know. It all connects to the Lamb of God. Funny thing is, the Israelites were to eat this meal, fully dressed, and ready to go. Why? Because when this night was over, they were going to be free. Now, that concept probably didn't register them real well. Keep in mind, they had been enslaved for 400 years. They did not know what freedom felt like. Everything that had ever been done had been done under Egyptian rule. They had no concept of what it meant to be free. The Egyptians told them what time to get up, what time to go to bed, what they'd be doing that day, what they'd be eating that day. The Egyptians controlled their life, just like a lot of times sin controls mine. But when this night was done, for all who put their faith in that Passover lamb, they were going to be free to leave. No longer confined by the borders of Egypt, they were going to be free to go. They were going to be free to worship. Remember when Moses went to Pharaoh? And he said, look, I just want to take these people so we can go down to the mountain so that we can worship. Pharaoh said, no. Moses said, let my people go. And back and forth it went. We'll be there on Passover night, you know, on Good Friday when we do the Passover. But you get at this point, they were free to worship however they wanted. It's funny, when they got to the mountain, they decided we'll worship a calf instead of God. But another story for another day. But they're free to do what they want. They were free to celebrate. They could make any holiday they wanted. Nobody could put any more restraint. They were free. And they were free to lead. I mean, free to choose. It's interesting, when God freed them, he gave them a bunch of rules. He gave them a bunch of regulations. He gave them these 8 celebrations. He gave them all these things. Said, if you want to live in relationship with me, here's what I want you to do. You know the one thing he didn't do? He never made them. Had to be their choice. Had to be the things that God wanted them to do. The Lamb became the source of their salvation. You know, when I first read that statement, I just want to let you know, the hair on the back of my neck stood up a little bit. But they're putting their faith in this little lamb that they killed and put his blood over the door frames. And that's faith. Keep in mind, it is a marker pointing toward what was going to be done later through the person of Jesus. But here's one that I want you to take. And I found this statement here, and I had to really process this. It's important. They were not saved because they were Jewish. Remember when I read that story in Exodus? It said, I'll kill them both. My angel is going to pass through here, and the firstborn of every house, both, whether you're Jewish or Egypt or whoever you are, all of them are done for. What was the marker? The blood of the Lamb. Spread over the doorpost, spread on the side, forming the cross, the blood stained their doorways. You do understand. There could have been an Egyptian that heard about this and said, you know what? I think I'm going with them. And they could have killed their lamb. And they could have put the blood on the door. And they could have been delivered. It was an invitation to anybody that wanted to put the blood on the door frame. But if you chose not to do it God's way, if you said, you know what? I've been Jewish my whole life. I'm a child of God. They're not going to do this. God said, no. This isn't about how you were born. This is about how you celebrate. And God said, do it this way, God's way or no way. Do you think we do that in the church today, God's way or no way? Please, we have more opinions than we want to shake a stick at. We have things that we want done or don't want done. Things we want done, look this way, do that. We get into this. We're big into this idea. But guess what? God said when it comes to this moment, my way or the highway, folks. Either you place your faith in the Lamb of God or you die. There's a choice for us. You realize that choice works today. Either you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or God says that the wages of sin is death.